Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters with me, Claire Solon.
And me, Georgie Crawford.
This is the podcast and that you know by now guarantees plenty of aha moments and lovely white smiles. And that's with thanks to our favourite toothpaste, Colgate Max White Ultra. We're partnering with Colgate Max White Ultra because we've seen the results. It really does whiten your teeth in just 3 days. You can get Colgate Max White Ultra in Dunnes, Tesco, Super Value and pharmacies nationwide.
So this season, we've been asking you for your reviews of Colgate Max White Ultra. Last week, we heard from Soul Sister Caroline. And this week, it's Soul Sister Siobhan, who's on holidays in Turkey at the moment. She sent me the funniest little limerick. Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
She said, "Everyone's getting turkey teeth, but my Colgate Max White Ultra Smile has more sparkle than a shelf of Turkish Delf. Everyone at my pool has new gnashers, whereas I'm here promoting the Colgate Max White Ultra." And she sent us three photos with her lovely smile. She has her toothpaste at the swimming pool and her toothbrush, and she's posing for gorgeous photos for us. That's the sort of commitment and reviews that we're looking for from our Soul Sisters. So make sure to keep them coming. Claire, I am coming to you from a hotel room in Tenerife and you are in London. How's it going?
How are you? Is this the same place you went to last year?
This is the same place. We've been coming here for over 10 years. Oh. And
I know.
I'm one of those people. But this is where we escaped to at around March, April. So when Jamie worked in corporate land, by March, April, he was close to burnout. So we used to have to escape for a couple of days, up to a week over down to Tenerife. And we've just kept up the tradition now since the babies came along.
It's funny, isn't it? I was considering my next getaway and I was thinking the same thing. Like, do I go back to somewhere where I know I had a great time and, you know, the service was great? It was the Ayurvedic retreat I went to in southern India, in Kerala, a few Januaries back. And I was thinking to myself, there's always that pressure, isn't there? Like, to try something new or to go back to that lovely familiar. So what's your pitch then? Why would you say go for the familiar?
So for Jamie, the reason that he liked the familiar at this time of year in relation to his burnout was he'd get here and he immediately can relax. So he doesn't have to go exploring. He doesn't have to get to know a new place. It's just get here, bags down, lie down at the pool and chill. Now, those days are over for us, considering the busy chapter we're in now. But it is a place where we just come to breathe.
And I suppose now when you have at least one smallie, it's just convenient again to know the lay of the land when you get somewhere.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're having a great time. How are you?
Well, I suppose great, brilliant. But I did send you a slight SOS, didn't I? It ended up being an SOS VN the other day.
So you sent me a voice memo and for the first half of it, I was just pottering around as I would do with voice memos usually. But then you started to get kind of more and more panicked, upset. And then I stood still for the last 3 minutes of it. It was a tough listen.
It was the Thursday, I think. So I launched Zoe Ball's Saturday radio show yesterday, which was the 3rd of May.
On the BBC.
On Radio 2, yeah. Biggest radio station in Europe. And I spent most of my career in radio. But I suppose where I'm most comfortable was probably on the radio, pressing the buttons. It's far more difficult to be behind the scenes because you have to take care of responsibility for everything. And then for the last 3 years, obviously, I've been working on a podcast, which is pre-recorded. So if you get it wrong, you just do it again. This was more like millions of listeners. And then, you know, bearing in mind that Zoe had come off breakfast and she was going back on Saturdays and everybody was so excited for her to come back. So there was so much build up from Radio 2's side, from the audience side. Everybody was massively excited. But you know, that excitement and stress live, you know, are good bedfellows. And so I was flip-flopping, I think, all week in preparation for this show. One day I'd be like, this is going to be so good. And the next day I'd be like, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And interestingly enough, because I suppose of the way I live my life, I always think to myself when something comes up like it did for me this week, like massive resistance, I just thought to myself, there's something I have to sit with here. And that is a level of limiting belief that needs to go, like needs to disappear. So the I'm not worthy, I you know, maybe being back in the BBC and seeing the caliber of people that work there and the caliber of work that comes out of there is really like overwhelming. Like it's quite confronting when you get in, you're like, I am among the cream of the crop here. Like, do I deserve a seat at the table? So this was the kind of negative or the sort of narrative that was going on in the back of my head when I sent that voice note to you. It started off like burp, 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 burp. And then I started, you probably were like, OK, why is there silences? Because so I was trying to contain the tears. And then I just obviously started to cry. So my coach and mentor, Dennis, passed away in September 23. And he and I worked very closely for the guts of 10 years together. And I suppose in a period like this in my life where I was starting something new, he would row in behind me and he'd be like, you have it. Do not put yourself don't put yourself down. Don't put yourself, what do they say in boxing? On the ropes. You're not on the ropes. You're in the ring. Come on, like you have this. So I was really trying to channel him. And then something extraordinary happened. So I honestly felt quite at sea during the week and I was asking for signs. And I was saying to myself, I don't know if I even believe in signs. Like that's how much my foundation.
In the trenches you were.
Yeah, that's how rocky my foundation was. And I was like, I have been saying to people, ask for signs, ask the angels. And I was thinking to myself, like my ego and my mind, my monkey mind was really playing tricks on me. So on Thursday morning, I did my meditation between 6 and 7 on Zoom with Dennis's wife, Mary, who runs it now since his passing. And at 7 o'clock, just after 7, Mary sent me what looked like a voice note, like a recording. And I was like, that's interesting because, you know, Mary and I would chat, but not that regularly. And the interesting part of this for me was the reference.
And you can say, I have a plan for my area. I want to do A, B, C, D, E, and F, G. You can say, I'm going to run the marathon in October, so you start training for now. You go into yourself, you have to go into yourself to complete that mission. And when you started that first step on the marathon, that's when you come out of yourself. You've done all that preparation within yourself, and when you start the marathon, every element of the hardship you put yourself through and the hard work you put yourself through pays off when you get to complete the race. So for us to go forward, we have to win marks. The success starts inside.
Now, Dennis is a Kildare man, so let me translate. He's talking there and he's using the example of a marathon. And he said, when you decide to run a marathon, before you go out and do the training, you have to go inside and find it in your constitution to do it. And then you get out on the road and start doing the training.
Wow.
That goes on for, he goes into a meditation there. It's about 45 minutes long. When I heard his voice like that, I was able to access. So all week I've had a resistance and agitation. This is the best way I can describe it. If you are struggling and you feel like you can't sit still, you can't focus, you've got an agitation, like an anger, like an upset in you, it is a signpost to access something within you that needs healing. So what I yes. needed to let go of this week before I took on this huge job was this old energy that was with me that told me I am not good enough to do this. This thing I picked up years ago, probably in my childhood, which was a shame-related negative mindset that I hadn't been able to shake. And it was coming up into my chest cavity. When I heard his voice and what he had to say, I bawled, like I cried, guttural crying. You know, the crying that leaves you feeling so raw? The healing tears. Had that cry, bounced up, headed into the BBC for the day. It was touch and go for most of the day with my tears. But by the end of the day, George, I was like a new woman.
So what did you take from his voice memo? Like, how did you apply that to your current situation?
So basically what he'd said was, go inside, ask yourself what's going on in there. I couldn't sit with myself. I kept going. I was looking at other people, comparing and despairing. I was telling myself in a loop that I couldn't do things. I had to just sit with myself. It couldn't even mantra. Sit with yourself and the answer will emerge. So many of us find it so difficult to sit with yourself. And it's understandable, but that is where the answers lie.
And when you sat with yourself in that moment, what came up for you in order to get yourself into the BBC?
The tears. So okay. When I connected with that and I heard him say that, that was the antidote to my issue, to my resistance, my fear.
So it wasn't even like reminding yourself that you can do hard things, reminding yourself of the evidence that you've built up over the years. It was literally once you cried, then you were able to move forward.
So if you imagine, right, we're carrying around traumas. Now, trauma's not the wound, as we know. Trauma is the response to the wound. So somewhere in my life, I got something in my life happened and I picked up, I'm not good enough. And then in my body lived that trauma. Yeah. And I would constantly bend and mold around that trauma to try and, so like I would blush, you know, I would keep myself small. I wouldn't ask for a seat at the table. All of those things were reactions to my trauma.
And oh my God.
On Thursday, I exercised that.
And it was simply solved by a cry.
It was a cry. So this is the thing, right? You know the way we sweat? We're sweating. It's our body's response to regulate temperature. Tears is our body's response to regulate emotion. If you don't do it, you don't regulate properly. And you become agitated, sad, angry, frustrated, addicted. You have to cry.
A few things have come up for me. This is insane, right? Obviously, we went on this redundancy journey with you at the end of last season, which was like October, November. And oh my God, this is blowing my mind, right? I feel like, and if anyone has been with us from the very, very start, and I'm talking season one of The Good Glow, when The Good Glow, I believe, became The Good Glow during our interview together. So before we sat down together, I was kind of talking to experts in their fields and it was more of a health podcast. Then we sat down together, do you remember, in Brezzy's studio?
Yes.
And you poured your heart out. I poured my heart out. And I believe that day was the birth of The Good Glow. So much of your trauma, I believe, is linked to radio. And then you went on and you got a job on the biggest.
Hi. Mini bar.
Yes, please.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Gracias.
Two tequilas, please.
Now, if I wasn't recording.
Okay, so let's get back to this thought. So much of your trauma was related to radio. And then you went on and you got a job on the biggest podcast in the UK and you were thriving and it was brilliant. And you had left all that in the past. And we always say the universe has such a funny way of working. The universe has put radio back in front of you again to say, what are you going to do this time? And maybe this radio opportunity has come up for you to do the work and to finally see that, yes, you were good enough in the podcast space. You thrived in the podcast space, but you can also thrive and bring everything you've worked on to the radio space again.
I'm speechless. I hadn't made that connection. That's the reason I'm back doing radio.
I think for so long we wait for the answers to things like, why am I being made redundant when I'm so happy, when I'm in a really good chapter? And it just proves that you can't rush. You can't. Sometimes the answer needs time to present itself. Maybe this isn't even the answer. Maybe the answer is still to come. But wow, it's just, that is, I think, such a powerful opening to this week's podcast.
What I want to say to you, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, this is not really my life, but there's something in this that I can relate to. What is it that you have to sit with? Is it your family? Is it a friendship? Is it your relationship? What feels right but stays with you maybe when you lie in bed at night or haunts you a little?
I think it's the million-dollar question. I think it's something that we should pause and reflect and say, what am I masking? Like, you could have just belted into the BBC studios on Saturday, put the mask on, not had those tears, but then what are you carrying into the next chapter? I think it's just so amazing to stop and ask yourself those tough questions.
And do you know what it was? I can pinpoint what it was during the week. The blushing started again. So I was sitting in meetings at the BBC and I was starting to blush. When I was being called on to talk, I was starting to get embarrassed. And I was like, oh no, I can't do this. I can't. Because as soon as that stuff starts for me, I pull back from life and I stop participating like I should. I keep my ideas to myself because for fear of being embarrassed in front of people I don't really know that well. So that was my trigger point. So what? Find out what your trigger points are. You know, sit with yourself. I know it's hard. It's so hard when someone says, do you go inside? It's inside. It's so frustrating because you're like, it doesn't make any sense. I need help. I need somebody else to point it out to me. But I'm telling you now, the all you need is a person, a mirror. You know, so you're a loved one to say to you, I'm here for you. I'm happy to talk about it when you're ready. So you can go away and just write stuff down. You know, just write it down. And decant what's that busyness that's in your brain. Just get it down on paper. Since last week, we talked about a list. I have a piece of paper and a pencil in my kitchen just beside the door. Everything goes down there. Everything is being written there and I've been crossing them off. So tasks, but also stuff that's on my mind. It's reflecting back to me where I'm at.
I love this and I'd love to hear from the Soul Sisters on this first part of the podcast. Like, what did you take from this? Have you experienced something similar or are you going through something similar and will this help you? Just before we move off it, I've one final question because I was just, Julie Ledwidge is here, my friend, her gorgeous family, her husband Jeff, her son Max, he's Pia's bestie, and Georgie, who is my little soul sister. Georgie is her 1-year-old. And we were just talking about grief before we started this podcast. And it's interesting that you brought up Dennis because I have 4 people very close to me who lost their favorite person. And what do you do when the person who you turn to isn't there anymore? on those tough days, on those moments where is it possible to still get the answers for them if you stop and listen and just pay attention to the signs? Like, are the answers there?
For a long time, I've heard so many people say this, I was closing my eyes and trying to hear his voice. So that's why it's so incredible to have that voice note. But I would hear him. He would always say, Well, Clarine. That's how he'd start his conversations with me. So, yeah, I do go to my inside, to my intuition. And I would say, I call him in, actually, full transparency. I call him in when I meditate. And he would always say, before you sit down to meditate and think on something, call in your soul. So call in that person that you've lost in those moments of grief and sadness and loss, and have a conversation with them. But also, after that, the love that you have for that person, make sure you project that onto others around you.
Mm.
Because that life has to go on. So maybe I pulled in my shutters and felt like I didn't have Dennis, and so therefore I didn't have the support I needed. Wasn't true. Dennis helped me to really work with my family, my dad, my mom, my sister, and those around me. So when you feel those moments of grief, go inside and remember that person, call them in, but then go and seek support from those closest to you, because that will keep their love alive.
That's amazing, Claire. So a couple of weeks ago, we were recording the first podcast, I think it was, and I said to you that, actually speaking of grief, we lost Jamie's dad 9 years ago. And one of his best friends, David Heaney, often cycles past our house and we always see him. And we always say he's such a blues owner. Like he exercises. He's so happy, leans towards joy. He's always out and about. We'll often see him at the local garage sitting on the wall having an ice cream. We just love to see him. So we bumped into him on my birthday, actually, which was lovely. And he said, I'm going to call into you one Friday to Jamie. So he called in when we were recording a podcast and I went out to him and we were chatting. And he's deep, you know, so he said something and I had to write it down. He said something as he was leaving, and as he was going down the driveway, I ran back into my phone and I wrote down the quote he said, because I was talking to him about the blue zones and telling him about them. And he was quite interested in the philosophy because he hadn't heard of it before. So anyway, just as he was walking out the door, he turned and he said, you know, I've always said this my whole life. Happiness is not about wanting something. Happiness is about wanting what you have.
I can't believe that was his sign off as he walked out the door. That's so profound.
Isn't it? Happiness is not about wanting something. Happiness is about wanting what you have.
God.
And what a reminder. For us, you know, that for a lot of us, not all of us, but for a lot of us, we have everything we need to make us happy. So I was thinking about the blue zones a lot, because I know I go on about the blue zones so much. And I think it's because the blue zones, people will often lean in towards certain philosophies or methods that work in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue zones, I think, when I discovered about the blue zones, which is like move naturally, eat less meat, lean towards joy, spend time with your family, enjoy a glass of wine, you know, sit down and have family meals together. And it's really about togetherness. And the idea is that when you do these things, you will increase your longevity. Mm-hmm. So I was walking down. I love when we get here. We're kind of in a remote enough area, but there's a little tiny village where we stay in Tenerife, full of locals, and it's busy enough. The local bank is here and a few shops, and it's nice, I suppose, to get out. You could come here and not leave for a week because there's five restaurants and everything you need. But we love to get out in the morning for a walk. Anyway, every morning this week, we've walked down to the town and there is a group of 10 men who are in their 80s and they sit on two benches opposite each other every single morning. It's obviously they decide to meet up at 10 o'clock or whatever it is. And they have their walking sticks and they're sitting there in silence. It's not a bus stop. They're not going anywhere. They're literally meeting in the town every morning, at least 10 old men. And that's their moai. That's their, the, you know, what they speak about in the Blue Zones, their group, their tribe. And they sit there and every morning I took a little sneaky photo of them yesterday from across the road, because every morning when I see them, I just smile to myself because it just reminded me so much of David Heaney and what he said about happiness is wanting what you have. And also that, like, it's so important to meet up with people that help your boat go faster.
And you know what I love about that visual? Is the difference between men and women. And rather than criticizing it, we should celebrate it. When men congregate and communicate, it's often in silence. Mm-hmm. Like that, whether they're sitting somewhere warm, just being in each other's company, or they're watching the game or whatever they're doing. But that is how they experience social intimacy. As women, we're like, you know, oftentimes gathering and doing and chatting. And if we let each other, as you know, men and women do that, as yin and yang, and celebrate that. Like I like you, love seeing old men playing. There's a bowls club not too far from me here on my way over to the Lido. And sometimes I peep in. It's like a secret garden. And I just see them in there playing bowls. And I'm like, that is what life is all about. You work so hard, especially that generation works so hard, manual labor likely, you know, for their careers and their jobs. And then just you earn the right to sit and take in the world.
Did I ever tell you the story about the fisherman in Mexico?
This is familiar, but go again.
Yeah, so I spoke about it on the September reset last year. So there was this American tourist and he went to Mexico and there was this man on a little tiny fishing boat and he was watching him in action and was really impressed. And he spoke to him and he said, "What do you do?" And the Mexican fisherman said, "Oh, well, you know, every day I go out and I catch enough fish for my family. And then I go down to the local village and I play guitar with my friends. We have a glass of wine. Then I get to spend time with my grandchildren and then I have an early night and I get up the next morning, I go fishing again." So the American businessman said, "Well, what you should do is you should go out, get more fish, expand your business, get a bigger boat. Then you can go to America. You can fish in the seas there. You can build an empire. And it will only take you 10 to 15 years to become a millionaire and have all the money in the world and never have to work hard for another day in your life." And the fisherman said, "And then what would I do every day?" And he said, "Well, you'd wake up when you want. You could go out on a boat and have the morning on the water. Then you could come home. You could have a nap. You could go down to the town. You could play guitar with your friends and you could spend some time with your grandchildren." And he looked back at him, he says, "But that's what I do every day anyway." And it's so funny, isn't it? That often we're striving and we're striving and we're striving, but actually we already have everything we need and everything that already makes us happy.
What?
So I thought that was really interesting.
What? I love that. Such a good illustration of, as you say, moving the goalposts never makes life any better. Thank you to Colgate for supporting Soul Sisters this season. Did you know that Colgate Max White Ultra is the only brand that targets both surface stains and deep stains, making the technology in Ultra even more unique? It's backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works, whitening your teeth in just 3 days. And the packaging. If we have to give the packaging a moment, it's beautiful and you'll be proud to display it with all your favourite beauty products. So, reasons to smile. It's got to be Tenerife, right?
Okay, so this week, obviously, it's all about my holiday. And I will say that I prepared for my holiday in a different way this year. So I had my Colgate Max White Ultra, making sure I had lovely white teeth when I came over here. And yes, I am working today on my holiday. But do you know what I'm going to do differently this year to what I did last year?
Tell me.
I'm going to take this podcast now when we're finished and go to a little quiet area of the hotel, sit in the sun with my headphones and my computer, order myself a glass of white wine and edit the podcast.
I am so jealous. I got such a pang of jealousy there. Oh, do you know what? Zoe Ball sent me a message last night, sent the team a message last night and said she got home and she was pouring herself a Negroni after a great day's work. There is nothing better than a moment like that, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic. So you and your white teeth, you enjoy that, won't you?
And thank you, Colgate, for helping us and our soul sisters to feel radiant, confident and empowered in those important life moments where we want to smile like we mean it. Recommends and what I saved on Instagram is kind of blending into one this week.
Oh,
so obviously it's the time of year where there's loads of marathons, half marathons, people are out doing really exciting things. And we spoke about the London Marathon on Soul Sisters last week. But after the podcast, I got served this amazing video. Okay, so it was a mom who had run the Boston Marathon. And her family recorded her as she ran past. And you can see her, you know, the kids are there. Her husband is there. She's waving madly at them while she's passing, while she's running by. And she just keeps going. But they forgot to press stop on the video. So you can hear their reactions after she leaves. And it's a mixture of, wow, that's my mom. Did you see her? I cannot believe it. And they're all like excitedly speaking to each other. And the dad goes, I've never seen her so happy. And the kid goes, yeah, did you see her smile? And it just
I'm crying
hit
again.
Me. Oh my God. It just hit me that when you go out, and this has been my message, I think, from the very start of the Good Glow and my own personal health journey. And you don't have to be a mom to inspire. Just want to say that too. But when I heard that, it really reminded me that when you go on a health journey or a fitness journey, or you just do something for yourself, even if that's to go for a coffee by yourself, you're inspiring people around you and they can see, they feed off your happiness. And I think for so many of us, we say we don't have enough time. We're in a busy chapter. I'll start it next week. I'll start it next month or next year. I'm going to do that. Like start today. You can do something for 10 minutes. Go to that exercise class you've been promising yourself or the cooking class or the book club. And watch the ripple effect on the rest of your family.
Such a good point. And I think in terms of the running, and this has been my own journey, I'd love to talk to you more about it next week because I want to come to Rome with you and do the half marathon. But again, I suppose in that in that pattern, that loop of limiting beliefs, you tell yourself you can't do it. And as soon as I heard Dennis give the reference to the marathon in October, I was like, well, guess I'm doing it then.
What are you recommending this week?
Well, this is exciting. Women's Irish Network. So I'm speaking to Soul Sisters in the UK. Assemble. Would you like to have dinner at Angela Hartnett's restaurant? And would you like to hear me interview Angela for half an hour before the dinner?
This is happening
on the 15th of May. 6:30 in Cafe Murano in Covent Garden. There are tickets available for this, but you've got to be quick because there's not many left. So check out Women's Irish Network UK on Instagram or their website, and you can pick up a ticket there.
I love it. And a great opportunity for the Irish Soul Sisters in London to get together.
Exactly.
I was sitting with Julie Ledwidge at the pool before I came up here, and she recommended a podcast to me called Shameless. So I'm going to listen and we'll talk about it next week. What's your plan for the rest of the day, for the week ahead? Do you feel actually better than you did this time last week? You're just eating your dates there. You've got your blue shirt on, gorgeous necklace. You look like you're happy out.
I have dropped the burden of stress off of myself. I got home here last night and I had a fish pie for two in one sitting. And
nice.
I started watching Succession again.
Oh, it's so good.
And you know what I love about watching something for the second time? You're like, oh my God, I was watching episode one and episode two. I never got it the first time. You know, there was a lot of things I didn't, the nuances and the detail that I never picked up first time round. Do you know what else one of our soul sisters recommended to me, and I'm going to watch it this evening? Freddie Flintoff.
Oh yeah.
On Disney Plus. Apparently it's an incredible reflection of Freddie's recovery after his accident on Top Gear.
Yeah, amazing. I am off for some prawns pill.
Yum.
My very bold one-year-old. She's very bold.
Is she? I love her. She's so sass. She feels like she's my little spirit animal or something.
We were at the buffet this morning and Jamie and Pia went in for the third time. Pia loves a buffet. And so they'd gone and I was sitting at the table. There was a coffee machine a stone's throw away, like a table away. So I got up to go to the coffee machine. I said, Tally, I'll be back in a minute. She's looking at me. She's got her two pigtails. She's sitting in her chair like, how can you just leave me sitting at this table? And do you know what she did? She picked up a coffee cup from the table.
No.
And like she was in a Greek restaurant, lifted it above her head and smashed it on the floor. And there was a man at the table beside and he actually went, bah! Screamed. People were diving out of the way and she just looked at me like, yeah, you think you're just going to get up and leave me sitting here?
Nobody leaves me sitting in a high chair on my own at a table. And this is the consequence of your actions. Humiliation. Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, she's a little divil, but yes, full of joy and divilment.
I think what you can learn, when you look at that is how conditioned we have become as adults. Like, it's just natural to feel like you have to conform. You know, you never, and as women, like as women in particular, like perfectionism and all that bullshit that we go on with. You look at little pigtails over there, little Pippi Longstocking sitting in her high chair, and she's just like, I just actually fancy picking up this china and dropping it. Let's see what happens. It's just like, I'm just going to be inspired. I'm going to live a little bit freer after hearing that story today.
I'll see you next week. And thank you to all the Soul Sisters so much for tuning in and all the feedback. And thanks again to Colgate for sponsoring this season. Colgate Max White Ultra is now half price in Tesco until the 2nd of June.